Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. The Reverend Dr. Anne Edwards is the priest in charge of the parish of The Gap in Meanjin, Brisbane, Queensland. Anne serves as the vice president of the Movement for the Ordination of Women and is a certified practicing speech pathologist. Anne's parish ministry is complemented by her interest in empowering families of children with disability, developmental concerns, or neurodivergence as they participate in health services, education, and in church.
This is such a great text, and my prayer is that together we can explore this, no matter where we are in the world, no matter what time it is, hearing the resounding truth of Jesus' call to us through the millennia, so that we may see the evidence of God at work still in our world and how we might join in. Amen. I want to start with a little aside and potentially a parallel to our text. Two centuries ago, Dr. Ignaz Semmelweis noticed that women were giving birth in a ward in one of his wards on the facility, and the women on that ward were dying at a much higher rate than women in a comparable ward. And the only difference between them that he could see was that one was run by doctors and one by midwives, and so he looked a bit closer. And what he noticed was on the doctor's ward, where the women were dying at a faster rate, the medical students and doctors were coming straight from having performed autopsies on deceased patients and were doing their rounds. And he hypothesized, perhaps there is something that is unseen that is being brought from the dead patients to the live, and the only way that could be carried across is on the hands of the doctors. And he thought perhaps there is something unseen that we're carrying, unknown, something that is a cadaverous particle. That's what he dubbed it, a beautiful word, a phrase. And so he decided to test this. And to do that, he instigated hand washing with chlorine on the wards. And lo and behold, the death rate of women who had just given birth fell dramatically. The problem was solved. The investigation of what had happened was thoroughly conducted by Semmelweis. The description of that current state was accurate and described the fullness of reality. And the intervention that was then prescribed yielded the change that cured the disease. It was a call to change. And the truth was plainly evident to anyone who valued the lives of these women at their most vulnerable. And the truth was not enough. Semmelweis's peers, the gentlemen surgeons in the 1800s, were outraged. How dare Semmelweis suggest their gentlemanly hands were unclean, that they might be responsible for the death of their patients? And they did a very human thing. They couldn't handle the ball in play, so they went for the player. And they attacked Semmelweis. He was critiqued in private, in public, in research papers. His arguments were obfuscated and his opponents prevailed until he was a broken man and he went to the grave broken. These gentlemen experts, whose vocation was to serve the common good, the very practice of their medical art and to care for the patients, behaved not like Hippocrates, who they followed, but as hypocrites. The lives of the women were disregarded for the preservation of the reputation and traditions of the doctors. Now, it's not like they woke up one day and decided to harm their patients or to be slack and not wash their hands. They believed they followed in the example of Hippocrates himself. The mirror that Semmelweis handed to them to look at themselves was rejected because they did not like what they saw. They believed they were right. And as it was with medicine, so it was with God's law and the practice of God's law, and perhaps we could say the same today. The Pharisees were the equivalent upright, gentlemanly teachers who followed in the example of Moses. They were the ones that were to prescribe the way to spiritual health, and they themselves presented as the model of the best possible relationship with God. They were rigidly, ritually clean, and others could only hope to approach their knowledge and their status. They followed in the example of Moses himself. And you can understand how they might ask, how dare this Jesus, this teacher of uncertain scholarship, belittle our devotion, challenge the status quo, and embarrass our leadership? Because remember that to them, Jesus was simply a competitor teacher and a leader. Jesus' true identity was only slowly being revealed to the closest in his circle, and it was hard then to understand. It was Jesus' teaching and healing that was the testimony to the rest of the people he encountered. Jesus' truth-telling, wisdom, and healing were his evidence. Just like Semmelweis in the medical profession, Jesus was a peer amongst God's teachers and a peer with proof and a flawless argument. And the doctors. The doctors had witnessed simple hand washing ending the pain, suffering, and death of Semmelweis's patients, and the Pharisees equally witnessed Jesus' acts of healing and care transform, and they saw the people were amazed at his teaching and authority. That truth, that hope, that call to change was met with opposition. That's not the way things are done in medicine. That's not the law. Who are you to challenge what is? Even if a ward of women that are alive and are not dead is your evidence and they return home to care for their children, even if lives are changed, set free, disease relieved, and there are people transformed who spill in your wake as you move across the land, even if your qualification in medicine is as sound and your methods are logical and clear, even if your expertise in God's law is perfect and has been proven perfect beyond reproach when challenged. Like the example of Hippocrates, Jesus names the past, gives the diagnosis, presents the reality, and provides the cure with that knowledge, knowing full well that without the trust and the will of the patient, nothing is going to change. And so Jesus dismisses the leaders, those that he knows just will not listen and act, and instead invites his disciples to see the reality for themselves. Look, says Christ, look. And they see, the disciples see, that the actions of the teachers are burdening the people. They see that the law has been made so difficult it has become impossible for the everyday person to follow. They see that people are offered no help. They see that the example of the leadership is doing harm. And they see leaders standing by watching this all, elevated by that very sorrow of the people they should be serving and standing on the burdens they have placed on the people's shoulders. And our text today ends before we hear Jesus give his prognosis. If he were to read on to the list of woes that follow in this chapter, we'd hear the voice of Jesus saying that the leaders will mislead the people and neglect the weightier matters of the law. We would hear Jesus say that while these people may be ritually clean, they only wash the outside of the cup. And we would hear Jesus say they are like whitewashed tombs. And this brings to mind Semmelweis's idea of cadaverous particles. Filthy on the inside, no matter how glossy or finished that cup may appear, a poisoned chalice. Shiny shells that have been washed white, that are filled with cadaverous particles that will contaminate and simply need a good wash in humility and chlorine. Like Semmelweis's peers, the Pharisees looked like they had the answers, but they just didn't understand. They couldn't face that perhaps they were on the wrong path and were part of the problem. Jesus invites us still to see for ourselves, to look for the reality. And Jesus invites us to look first if we are to lead at our lives and see. Watch the reality and see if we are doing the work of healing and life-giving and following in the way of Christ, or are we burdening a people desperately trying to come into the community? And if it is the former, we can simply apply the chlorine. Turn to Jesus, look for the way forward and follow what we read in the scripture. And in doing so, we will be healed and set free to do the good work of Christ. And when we have done this, our call is to not harm. We've done the good work and we can then help. We can reach back and pull from behind those who would follow and help them stand alongside us. In Jesus' precious name.
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.